Welcome to this special day for us, that we commemorate the big event of the ordinance. And this hymn we just sang, it does something to me, to cling. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Let us bow our heads for the Holy Spirit to guide us in this lesson. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this opportunity to hear your word through these scriptures and also spirits of prophecy. Enlighten our heart and our mind too to listen to your words. We pray, Heavenly Father, let the Holy Spirit be with us, also the holy angels sitting next to us. And we thank you for your mercy, and thank you for giving us Jesus, and we pray all this in his precious name. Amen. And what I'm going to present today is from Desire of Ages, pages 650 to 661, which are selected verses and paragraphs and for this presentation. About, I call it, extraordinary event. Let me call it that. Extraordinary event. Remarkable event that is not usual or regular, that someone gives his life for others, as Jesus did for us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus instituted the Last Supper before he died, the cruel death of the cross. And this event should be commemorated throughout the ages till Jesus comes, that if his believers accept him as their personal savior, they can drink the fruit of the vine with him in the new kingdom as he has promised. Jesus, the great redeemer of this world, is holy. The angels declare, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So therefore, since Jesus is holy, the symbols that represent his body and his blood are also holy. Since the Lord himself selected the deeply meaningful symbols of the unleavened bread and unfermented fruit of the vine, and used the simplest of means for washing the disciples' feet, there should be great reluctance to use unwillingly to introduce alternative other symbols and means, except under truly emergency conditions, lest the original significance of the service be lose its value. Likewise, in the order of the service, the roles by the ministers and elders, deacons and deaconesses in the communion service that is celebrated of the Passover is to be solemn commemorative event to leave an effective impression in the minds of the congregation that this institution is not just a common practice, but as sacred as can be, a blessed day for the members of the church, a token to keep the unity between the members and to have that fellowship with one another and mainly with our body and mind and soul, really surrender to God in every aspect, that everything is in harmony with our Creator and his Son Jesus, that we can receive the richly blessings on this day as God has promised us. It is a day of remembrance, a service that was instituted by our Lord Jesus himself as he entered upon it before his crucifixion. The desire that he had to die for his people, to make a sacrifice once and for all to save the human race from the bondage of sin, to free them from their captivity and loosing their chains, shackles and cuffs from their feet and their hands, that they may accept the invitation to follow him, to follow his example that can lead them to the eternal life. Now Jesus, having washed the disciples' feet, he said to them, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Jesus was not referring of this practice, of this hospitality, the practice of washing the feet of the guests, as it was in those days, to remove the dust of the travelers from their feet. But Jesus meant as an act of humility, the cleansing of the heart. Jesus turned this custom into a religious service. By this act of our Lord Jesus, this ceremony was made a consecrated ordinance. It was to be continued by the disciples, that they may ever keep in their mind his lessons of humility, of the service, and to be followed till he comes in a form of outwardly presentation and also inwardly for the benefit in the spiritual walk. But while pride, differences, discouragement, strive for supremacy are cherished, to be better than anyone else, the heart cannot enter into fellowship with Christ. In this way, we are not prepared to receive the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. In this act of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, Jesus performed a deeper cleansing, the washing from the heart, the stain of sin. We should feel a sense of unworthiness to accept the sacred emblem, this symbol, before experiencing the cleansing that makes us one and all clean. The spiritual experience that exists at the heart of foot washing changed from being a common custom to being a sacred ordinance is to deliver a message for us, the message of forgiveness, the message of acceptance, the message of assurance, the message of unity, of interest and action. A message for us of forgiveness, that we should forgive one another as God has forgiven us, to make us white as snow. It is a message of acceptance, that we accept this message of humility with a glad heart, as Jesus did, humble himself. Left his glory above and became as one of us, as human. He owns everything. He owns the universe. He is our creator. But he became as the poorest man on this earth. For you and I, that you and I become rich. It is a message of assurance that if we follow him and do his will, surrender everything to Him as He did for us. He bought us back from our slavery of sin and gave us back our liberty with the assurance of His death that secure our salvation. That if we follow His footsteps, His resurrection from His death, that is our guarantee of our resurrection from our death. That this security gives us our eternal life if we do His will. Also, it is a message for unity and interest and action, that unity between one another that makes us strong in Jesus. The unity that binds us together in our truth, in our faith, in our Christian life. The interest that we should have for one another, that our examples should follow, that our actions should be the actions of Jesus, that we should act upon them the way Jesus has acted. In John chapter 13, verse 12 to 17, Jesus said to His disciples, "You call Me teacher, the Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." Verse 17. "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." And the way I understand these verses are a straight command from Jesus to do them. And although I always like how Jesus taught His disciples in a simple words that everyone can understand. And Jesus was a great philosopher. But He never used great philosophy when He taught, as men do. But as simple as they are, as it is, that everyone can understand. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So mainly, this message is expressed from Jesus to His believers, and also between the believers themselves, in a humble way, in the influence of humility of their surrounding. Desire of Ages, page 653. While Jesus still at the table, with the Passover supper has been spread, the unleavened cake used at the Passover seasoned are before Him. The Passover wine, untouched by any fermentation, is on the table. These symbols Christ employs to represent His own unblemished service as sacrifice. Nothing corrupted by fermentation, the symbols of sin and death could represent the Lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ as of a Lamb without blemish and without spot." neither the wine or the bread should contain any trace of contamination, of fermentation. In the evening of the first day of the Passover of the Hebrew Sabbath, Passover, all leaven fermentation had to be removed from their houses, as God had commanded them to do. Exodus chapter 12, verse 19. For 7 days no leaven should be found in your houses, since whosoever eats what is leavened, the same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. And as we know, leaven represents sin. So for 7 days they had to take everything that is fermented, leaven, from their houses, so they could participate in the Passover. So there is no place at any communion service of fermented wine or leavened bread. A great care must be taken to provide only unfermented grape juice and unleavened bread to be exercised for the communion service. From early writing, page 217, by partaking of the Lord's Supper, the broken bread and the fruit of the vine, we do show for the Lord's death until he comes. The scenes of his suffering and death are those our task brought fresh to our mind. That's why we practice this service continually, that those things that Jesus done for us will be refreshed in our minds. So when we receive the unleavened bread and the unfermented grape juice that symbolizes the broken body and the blood of Christ, and this takes us back to 1,000 years ago, and by reading and following the gospel, the way to Calvary, his crucifixion, and what Jesus went through, in our imagination, follow up to be present there at the upper chamber with Jesus and his disciples. Also seeing him passing through the garden of Gethsemane and the struggle that he had to go through his suffering, that his human nature staggered under pressure that even Luke, the physician, reported in his 22nd chapter, verse 44, that Jesus, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So Luke reported that the drops of sweat, it looks like blood. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was ready to die there in Gethsemane because of the pressure. By himself, he couldn't go through it. That's why God sent the angel to comfort him and encourage him that he have to drink the whole cup to save the human race. Also, we see the Roman soldiers see Jesus and the great betrayal of Judas with a kiss. Then we see Jesus appearing before Pilate. And then Pilate washed his hands from Jesus. While his wife told him, "Don't have anything to do with this man, he is innocent." But he gave Jesus to have some stripes. We see his back marked with these stripes of the whip, that these stripes meant for you and me to be healed. Also, we heard the hearing the rooster that crowed, the denial of Peter that denied Jesus three times. Also, he was stripped from his clothes, that you and I can receive a new garment of righteousness. And seeing the holes, the wounds in his hand and feet, that will remain throughout eternity to show the love that he has for us. From Desire of Ages, page 659. The communion service points to Christ, Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this hope lively in the minds of the disciples and also in our minds. Whenever they met together to commemorate his death, they recounted how he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." In their tribulation, they found comfort in the hope of their Lord's return. And also us, we should find comfort, because the promise is there. Unspeakable precious to them was the thought, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26. And now is the time for us has come to join together to celebrate the Lord's Supper with gladness in our heart, to perform this act of foot washing in reverence with prayers and devotion and respect, and silently in a humble way. Thank you. Amen.